अन्ना भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय
So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, 9th chapter, text 12. So first of all, I'd like to thank all the devotees for receiving us so nicely here in Mahabodhi Temple, which is a famous temple where Srila Prabhupada was present here. And so it's a place, a pilgrimage. And it's so inspiring to see so many wonderful devotees who are very enthusiastic, serving the beautiful form of the Lord, and serving the Vaishnavas, and distributing prasada, and doing harinam, and doing all the wonderful services. So this is very inspiring to see. We are traveling with Bhagavan Maharaj all over the world. For the last 1 year we've been stuck in Australia. It's supposed to be for 3 days, and we end up to be 1 year. But hey, what a beautiful place to be stuck. And just imagine you go stuck in somebody's house in some city of the world. Or we get stuck in Australia where COVID was not so strongly felt like in other countries, like in Europe or America or India or many other places. So we have been blessed by Srila Prabhupada. I have personally been blessed by a great association of great devotees like His Holiness Swami Swami. I learned so many things from him, although I know him for more than 43 years. We traveled some time together when he was brahmachari around India. And now as a sannyasi for the last so many years, I can recognize that he's a spiritual scientist, apart from a saintly person, because he's like, he knows everything about scriptures, and he's constantly translating books of the acharyas, especially about Vinod Thakur and all the other great acharyas, constantly in the computer translating from Sanskrit and from Bengali and other languages, so to make this knowledge available to all the devotees. So he has translated more than 120 books, which are available on Amazon or whatever platform, I don't know. But apart from in India, they're printing some of his book, but so these are available online. And as the movement advances in Krishna consciousness, it's good that we learn more and more about the science of Krishna consciousness. Because I think, apart from the religious sentiment, we are a scientific movement. So thank you very much, Vaishnavis and Vaishnavas, for receiving us. So give me your blessing that I may speak some words which may be inspire heart and devotion to the Supreme Lord. Hare Krishna. So today we're reading text 12 on the 5th canto, chapter 9. I don't know if we can read this, it's pretty long. Maybe I'll just read the Sanskrit. Atakadachi kashit visalapatir badrakalyani purusham pasun alabhata patyakama. Okay, we go word by word. Ata. Therefore. Thereafter. Kadachit. At that time. Sorry. At some time. Making a lot of mistakes. Yeah? Kashit. Some. Rishalapati. The leader of the Sudras. Engage in plundering the property of others. Badrakalyani. Unto the goddess known as Badrakali. Purushapasum. An animal in the shape of a man. Alabhata. Started to sacrifice. Apatyakamaha. desiring his son.
Desiring his son.
Translation by Srila Prabhupada. At this time, being desirous of obtaining a son, a leader of the cult who came from a Sudra family wanted to worship the goddess Bhadrakali by offering her in sacrifice a dumb man who is considered not better than an animal. Please repeat after me.
At this time,
being desirous
of obtaining a son,
a leader of the dacoits,
who
come from a Sudra family,
wanted to worship
the goddess Bhadrakali
by offering her in sacrifice
a dull man.
Who is considered
not better than
an animal.
There is this little short purport by Srila Prabhupada. Low-class men such as Sudras worship demigods like goddess Kali or Bhadrakali for the fulfillment of material desires. To this end, they sometimes kill a human being before the deities. They generally choose a person who is not very intelligent. In other words, an animal in the shape of a man. I repeat the translation. At this time, being desirous of obtaining a son, a leader of the cult who came from the Sudra family wanted to worship the goddess Bhadrakali by offering sacrifice of dumb man is considered no better than an animal. Namaste, Saraswati Deva Gauravani Sucharine, Nirvishesha Sunyari Vasatade Sutarine, Vancha Kalpa Garubhya Stakripa Sindhubhya Vacha, Patitanam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnava Bhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadu Shri Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this is a very nice passage from Srimad Bhagavatam where we can learn so much. Every word is full of nectar and every line is so instructive for us to learn so many things. So, we can see in this particular pastimes how Jada Bharat was treated like a dog, useless person, was put in by his own family in the middle of the field to be a scarecrow. A scarecrow usually is cabal stick with some t-shirt and a cap, sometimes with a nose, so the animal won't come and eat the grains. And he was determined to be completely detached from his material affairs. As His Holiness Bhagavan Swami explained yesterday, he was very scared because in his previous life he was becoming attached to a deer. So at this particular time, he said, I'm not going to make the same mistake, you know, and therefore I'm going to be completely detached from everything, from family affair. But Maharaj just explained that, you know, he was scared that he would be attached to the father, to the mother affections, to the brothers. You know, this is a natural thing, be affectionate with one's family member. So, the beautiful thing to understand in this particular pastimes is that he was totally surrendered to the will of the Lord. So, he was not scared of anything and he was completely meditating 24/7 on the beautiful form of the Lord. So he thought, whatever happened to me, the Lord is responsible. I'm not afraid of anything. In connection to this, it comes to my mind a passage from the Mahabharata when Bhishma Dev has been petitioned by Duryodhana. Duryodhana is telling that, what is this, grandfather? You have so much affection for your, you know, nephew, grandsons, that you are not killing them. I can see you're fighting, but you're not putting your heart. You're not really fighting with all your mighty power. So then, at that moment, Bhishma Dev made a vow and said, you will see tomorrow. I will either kill all the five Pandavas, and or I will make Krishna break his vow and come with a weapon to fight. So at that time, you know, Duryodhana was very happy. And I think that at that moment, Bhishma Dev told Duryodhana, please give me five arrows. I will keep these five arrows. Each one is destined to kill one of the Pandavas. So, you know, Duryodhana was in ecstasy. Okay, now that's it. I'm winning the war. This is going to be the end. I'm going to gain the kingdom and enjoy finally against these people. So then, at the time, Duryodhana, before going away, said, Pitama, grandfather, do you mind if I keep those arrows with me? He was scared. Maybe, oh, you forget or something, you know? And then he said, yeah, sure, keep them. Tomorrow you will see my fury, my art of a Kshatriya. So then Duryodhana is very happy. He's going to his room to sleep. At the time, Krishna is always worried about his devotees. So he's full of anxiety, how always save the devotee. So he's going to call Arjuna, and Arjuna is sleeping. Saying, come on, Arjuna, wake up. He said, what happened? You don't know? He said, no, what happened? Bhishma has taken a vow to kill all of you. So you have to do something. He said, what can I do, my lord? I'm depending on you. Why should I worry for anything? He said, okay, you do one thing. You remember one time that Duryodhana promised that I will give you anything. You have a boon from me. Anything you want, you can ask me. This is the time you have to go and ask this five arrows to Duryodhana. So Arjuna, he put some clothes and went to Duryodhana. And Duryodhana will come in and say, yes, Arjuna, what can I do for you? Anything you ask, I will give you. You want me to stop the war? You want to stop the fight? You want to do this and that? He said, no. I want only one thing. He said, what is that you want? I want those five arrows. And then Duryodhana is shocked. How does he know about these five arrows? Who told you about these five arrows? He said, Krishna. Okay. And as you know, the Kshatriyas, they are very sticking to their words and to the promise, because he had promised to give him. So he takes the five arrows and gives it to Arjuna. So Arjuna was very relaxed, because he's thinking, well, Krishna is there with me, he will protect me. Of course I had to fight, but he is always completely surrendered to the Lord. And the Lord is in anxiety, thinking how to protect. The Lord becomes the messenger of the Pandava, is their friend, he does so many things for the Pandava, they are very close to their heart. So in this manner we can see also this Yadavarat is completely surrendered to the Lord, that he is not worried about what is going to happen to me. So Srila Prabhupada sometimes he gives the example that if you walk in the busy street of any city and you are a small child, but your mother or your father hold you by hand, then you have no fear. The mother and father crossing the road and going through the busy market. But because your connection with your father and mother is there, you have no fear. You don't know many things. I remember personal experience. I was maybe 5 or 6 years old, and I was with my mother and my uncle. We went to the supermarket in Rome. And the supermarket in Rome were very busy. It's not like in Australia, it's only a few people. So it was very busy, and there was a lot of people, and I think I got attracted to see some toys, you know, and I was looking at these toys. It was a car or something, you know. I was very attracted to mechanical things. And I left my aunt and my mother thinking that she's here, she was watching something. But then after a few minutes I turned, and she was not there. I turned this side, she was not there. I turned everywhere, she was not there. And I was alone. And I started crying. I was thinking, oh my God, now I'm alone. I lost my mother. What will happen to me? You know, I was completely destroyed. It's like the dream, boom, shattered, you know. I don't know how to go home. I don't know, and I start crying and crying and crying. Then one lady from the supermarket come and tell me, what happened, boy? So I don't know, my mother, I lost my mother. And she say, okay, come with me. We'll announce in the microphone, what's your name? Oh, my name is Gino. Okay, so we'll announce your name in the microphone. Don't worry, I'm still crying, thinking I'll never see my mother again. And then they announce it, and then my uncle came and picked me up. So he gave me one slap. He said, you nonsense. I said, start crying more. He said, why did you left your hand in your mind? I don't know, I was looking something. Don't do that again. So then he took me to my mother, and I was thinking, when I was going on, I was feeling such great happiness in my heart. And I was thinking, if my mother died, I want to die with her, because I cannot live without my mother. You know, without your mother, who gives you so much affection, so much food, and so much, you know, attention and love. You know, Italian mothers, they're very affectionate, like Indian mothers. I don't know Australian mothers, okay, I'm an Australian here, a few. So this is the relationship. So in this particular pasana, we see in the future of this sloka how Jaya Bharat was taken by this low-class sudra decoy. You know, they're thieves. And this show that by, you know, association, these people, because they have no knowledge and they are influenced by Buddha of ignorance, they wanted to sacrifice him in front of the goddess Kali. And he did not object. Even though he says in another purport, as we read yesterday, he was very strong. He could have fought. You know, it's like somebody come to us and say, hey, what's your problem? He said, oh, you want to fight? Come on, let's take it. Now, but he was completely surrendered to the Lord, you know, and say, okay, whatever the Lord wants. They put his head on a piece of wood, and the head of the dacoys, he want to chop his head off. Still he's not complaining, still he's surrendered to the Lord. So he had great realization that I am not his body. This body is to go sooner or later. There's no problem. He didn't see any enmity in these people. Usually somebody bothers us, I'm gonna punch his face, this guy, I'm gonna show him something sometime. Yeah? He did this to me, I'm gonna do this to him. Yeah, there's a nature of humans, a way to retaliate. But he was completely peaceful, and he was completely surrendered to the Lord. And then, of course, we see in this particular pastime that Ao, from the goddess Kali, could not tolerate to see a great devotee of the Lord being harmed. And she broke out of the deity, and she came personally with a fierce form. And she chopped the head of all this dacoit. Not only that, today in Australia, rugby is very famous, right? So everybody watching rugby. I think the original people who play rugby was Bhadra Kali with their associate, because they take the head and they start to play around, like football, kick it with the head, and they start to pass each other and they drink the blood of these people. And they start to have so much fun with the head. Now you know where football is coming from, yeah? You know, they said the ancient Roman also, they used to chop the head and they fight and they used to play football, you know? But then the head was too heavy, they hurt the feet.
So they say, okay, let's make a little lighter hat. So they make a leather. The football is made of leather with an air inside. So anyway, originally everything is coming from the Vedic scriptures, and this is where rugby and basketball and football is coming from, you know. It's coming from this. And we can see how offensive these people were and how ignorant, because it's not mentioned anywhere in the scriptures that God is calling will accept, you know, a human being, even though he's like an animal, even though he's ignorant. I don't know how many of you have been in Calcutta Kali Temple. Anybody? Okay, so you're seeing that how the goat neck. There's a priest with dhotis and with a Brahmin thread, chanting mantra and putting the goat with a big one after another, they're cutting goat. And it's blood, it's gory to see, you know. And then you think, what is Vedic culture? But yes, Srila Prabhupada explained that in ancient time there was no slaughterhouse, like nowadays, where they process millions of cow and animal and chicken. There was a temple in Kali, and for those people in the mood of ignorance who wanted to eat meat, they would go once in a month and offer a goat, and then they could eat meat. So the Vedic culture is open for everybody, from all different type of people. There is a system how people can reduce their material ignorance, and even though they have gross material desire, they can come to reduce these material desires, so to the point that they elevate themselves into the platform of spiritual realization. So we as human beings, we have a great opportunity. Atato Brahma Jigyasa, it says in the Vedanta Sutra, that now we must inquire about the absolute truth. So now means now that we are human. If we bring all the, you know, birds and animals of Melbourne to the, you know, conference room, and we start to speak to them, they will not understand anything because they are animals. But human beings can. Even though in this Kali Yuga, many people are becoming like animals. Yes? Because they get technical education. They can become engineer, doctor, advocate. But what is their spiritual elevation? What is their upliftment? Which university or college teaches people to become pious? To understand what is the goal of life? Nowhere. Srila Prabhupada said, in the future, the leader of the world will acknowledge how this movement saved the world. Why? Because our only interest is to upgrade and uplift human society, which is degrading very fast. Now in this COVID, we can see so many people that are reconditioning their thinking. They're locked in their house for many months, and they think, okay, I have a lot of money, but I cannot do anything. Why am I working so hard? Why am I running like a rat race? What am I doing? Any moment I can die. So the people that start to think a little deeply, maybe there is something else which I can get in human life. It's not just trying to find happiness through material sense gratification, get a nice car, nice flat, nice job. And then what? When I'm going to become old, I'm going to die, I'm going to lose everything. So, welcome to the material world. So, and people who realize this, they start to search for some truth. And if they are fortunate, they meet the Sankirtan party in the road, they meet some devotee who give books, they meet some devotee who give some prasadam. So there is a beginning of their spiritual life. Because unless they get some Agyata Sukriti, they cannot start devotional life. Many people, they're sentimentally religious people. They go to the church once a week, They go to the mosque, they go to the synagogue, they may be reading the Bible, they may be reading the scripture, but how many people take seriously interest in understanding what to do, what not to do? Because many people continue to eat meat, and they don't link meat eating and drinking and all the sinful activity with the position of this planet right now today. They don't see the connection. They think, oh, what's wrong? I go to the supermarket, I buy a nice piece of meat, costs $10, and I cook in a minute. They don't see what is behind a small piece of meat. Somebody said that if the slaughterhouse had a glass wall and people could see the suffering of the animal, nobody would eat meat. In fact, they did a test in Turkey. There was a small child who was 8 to 10 years old. They asked him, do you like to eat chicken? He said, yeah, I like chicken very much. So they took one chicken, they gave one knife, said, okay, kill the chicken, eat it. Start crying, no, 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 come on. You are eating chicken every day. What's the problem? Kill the chicken.
No, no, I don't want to kill the chicken. I don't want to kill the chicken.
So there is some sentiment in the human form of life. But what happens is that we don't see how the animal is suffering in the slaughterhouse, how they're being killed. Some animal cry, they can feel they're going to be killed. They try to run away, but they cannot. So, how to elevate this human society? Who is the person who is interested in giving knowledge? Very few people in the world. We have many great preachers in many religions who speaks very nicely the message of God, but they don't follow the message of God. I'm coming from a background of Christian Catholic from Rome, and the priest said, do what we say, don't do what we do. And then said, what? We have a priest coming every week, give us 1 hour lecture on Jesus. But he was smoking cigarettes. And then I say, sorry, Father Francesco, why do you smoke cigarettes? Oh, this is not for you, you know, you're small kids, you cannot smoke. I can smoke. So what message is giving me? When I grow up, I can smoke. And they drink wine, and they eat meat. And I ask, okay, Jesus said, I'm the son of the Father. So who is the Father of Jesus? He said, you have to have faith. I said, I have faith. But who is it? They don't know. They don't know. Why? Because they eat meat, they drink wine, they smoke cigarettes. How can you possibly, if you're sinful? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that as long as you're sinful, you will not understand God. It's not possible. It's like it's closed, the door is closed. It doesn't matter you dress like a priest, it doesn't matter you are a Buddhist monk. We were in Cambodia in Angkor Wat temple, we met one young Buddhist, so I started speaking to him, and then I asked him, do you eat meat? He said, yes, of course. I said, but Buddhists are not supposed to eat meat. No, 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 we can eat meat, it's no problem. And ultimately there is nothing. I said, if there is nothing, why you become Buddhist monk? You know, you just maybe go and enjoy life. Oh no, this is very easy, I go also to give me food. Okay, so it's a business. Why people become Buddhists? Like in many countries, like in Thailand, Cambodia, either you go 1 year to the army service, or you can do 3 years as a Buddhist monk. So people say, okay, I don't want to fight, go there and get trained, gun, shooting, this, that, let me become a Buddhist. But then they eat meat, they drink. What kind of Buddhist is a Buddhist in the dress on? So who is a sincere spiritualist? Who is a sincere devotee who want to engage in devotional service for uplifting human society? Srila Prabhupada went in America in 1965 and said, I am not come here to take anything from you. I come to give you something, which you are missing. Yeah, most of the people go in America and say, oh, I'm a big yogi, now I'll give you a mantra, you pay $35, you become God. Secret mantra. Cheaters and cheater. That's what Prabhupada said. But Prabhupada was very honest. Why? He followed the instruction of his spiritual master. You go and preach in the West where people speak English, give them knowledge. So,
we can see because of one person, Srila Prabhupada, now all over the world, every day there is Mangal Arati, every day there is Sankirtan, Prasad distribution, and so many beautiful devotees are coming, those pious devotees, people are attracted to come and join this wonderful Sankirtan movement. Golokera Premadan Harinam Sankirtan. See, the Sankirtan part comes directly from the spiritual world. So how fortunate we are to be in touch with the Sankirtan of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Stapitanyena Bhutale. It's his desire that in every town and village my name will be heard. It's his desire he wants to give love of God to everybody. Without consideration, he is good, he is bad, he is pious, doesn't matter. Anybody who hears the holy name, anybody who takes prasadam, anybody who reads these books, will become pious and can have access to devotional life if they are sincere in the heart. So at least it's a beginning. I remember in 1974, I was in a room in the center of the city with my friend. We are sitting under a church outside, smoking some marijuana, by the way, sorry, but I must be truthful. And we saw this Sankirtan party coming, you know, they were all dancing and chanting, you know, with this bad shit and this mark in their forehead and the sika flying. We said, who are these? Which planet they come from? And they were so happy, you know. And then they stopped in front of the bus, and one lady came with a basket which was full of cakes, and she gave us cake to every one of us. And I said, wow, this is so good, can I have one more? I said, yeah, sure. Do I need to pay something? No, 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 don't worry, take more, take more. And then, you know, we took this prasadam, it was delicious. And I remember telling my friend that, look, whatever planet these people are coming from, they look funny, for sure. But they're very happy. They're singing, they're dancing, and then on top, they give free food to everybody. Come, give me a break. These are the right people. These are the good people. And then I didn't see them anymore. Then, of course, you know, a few years later, in 1979, I was in Kathmandu again, sitting under some temple, and I saw again the Sankirtan party chanting and dancing, and one devotee came to me in saffron cloth, he gave me a BTG and said, Prabhu, can you buy one of this? I said, I have no money. Then I ended up speaking to him for 2 hours, Jagadananda Prabhu, he was Italian, I was Italian, and he preached to me. And I was feeling, wow. In the end, he gave me the magazine for free. He said, okay, no problem, you read this, you know, I'm sure you're interested in spiritual life. Then I meet them again in Kathmandu, and then finally I wanted to get my passport from the Indian embassy. I was getting my visa to go back to India, and I met them again. They said, hello, where are you going, my friend? I said, I'm going back to India. He said, oh, really? We are going back to India. He said, what you were doing before? I was a mechanic. I used to repair car and motorbike. Oh, we need a mechanic with us. Can you come with us to India? I said, yeah, sure. I'll come with you. No problem. He said, tomorrow morning, 5 o'clock here, we'll come and pick you up. And then pick me up. And on the way, they were speaking to me. And I could understand these people, they have knowledge, not from speculation, from some idea. There's some knowledge from scriptures. Because they were all saying the same thing, you know, in their own personal version and realization. So then they told me, okay, look, we have one mantra. If you chant this mantra, you'll be happy. I said, okay. I can chant. So they give me a card. They give me a japa mala. I said, stick your finger like this, and you chant. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Rama Hare, Rama Rama Rama. And we are driving the van. At that time, from Kathmandu, there was a road you had to go through the pass, through the mountain. It takes 3 days to reach the border of India. And so, the first day I chanted 8 rounds and I was feeling great happiness in my heart. I said, what is this mantra? What is it? This is greatest happiness than drinking, than driving motorcycle, than doing all the crazy things I did.
This is the happiness I'm looking for all my life. And then the next day, they went to the barber. They say, Prabhuji, we're going to the barber to shave. You want to come? I say, yeah, sure, why not? So I went and shave. I remember the barbers, you know, at that time there was the blade, you know, like, it's really hard. And I was like, painful, oh my God. But nice. Then they say, you know, why don't you throw this cloth? It's all dirty and old, you know. I have one longi and covered t-shirt. Just I throw this, I'll give you a nice clothes, you know. We put your tilak. What is tilak? Oh, this is a sign of the lotus feet of the Lord. We put in 30 different places. They wrote one card with a mantra. You chant this mantra, protect your body, protect your consciousness. I said, okay, do it. And so the next day I chant 16 rounds again. Great happiness. Whoa. And then the third day we reached Patna and Maharaj said, we are the Sankirtan party. I say, okay. And so you give me a bag, you know, with full of Bhagavad Darshan, you know, and I say, okay, you go. I say, I go where? What am I supposed to do? What do you mean? We are the Sankirtan, we are distributing this magazine. I say, Maharaj, I don't know anything. Don't worry, Krishna is in your heart. So I said, okay. I said, anyway, I was thinking, I did so many crazy things in my life. This, I'm not scared of this. So this devotee, Jagadanand, took me and said, no problem, you come with me, I'll show you how to do it. So we went one road, and he went inside one shop. He said, you only learn two mantras. What is this? Hare Krishna and Ek Rupiah. Means 1 rupees. That was the price of the magazine, Bhagavad Darshan in Hindi. So I said, okay. So he went to my shop and he shouted, Hare Krishna! And he started to give magazine to everybody. Then he said, Ek Rupiah, Ek Rupiah, Ek Rupiah. And then everybody took 1 rupees and gave him the purchase because 1 rupees was very cheap. So I said, okay, look, I go in this side of the road, you go this side of the road. If you have any problem, just cross the road. I'm there, don't worry, you will not get lost. I said, okay, no problem. So I'm going shop to shop, I'm big size, everybody, who is this guy? And I was thinking, oh my God, what people think, you know, with this mark in my forehead, with this kind of bad shit, and this kurta, you know, I don't know anything with the seagulls I have. And I was scared, you know, but I said, okay, you know, if this gives pleasure to the devotee, if this gives pleasure to God, I'll do it, no problem, you know. So then I went shop to shop. Then I end up in one court. There was a court case going on with 200 people, you know. And I entered inside and I was scared. I said, uh-oh, I'm in the wrong place. I started to slowly turn around, but the judge was sitting on the platform. He said, hey, come here. Here are you. Oh, God, thank you, God. You're going to put me in prison, you know. He said, kya hai under? What is in your bag? I took out, I give him Hare Krishna, Ek Rupiah. The guy looked at it. Wow, Bodhachaya. He took 1 rupees and he gave it to me. Then he told everybody, Sab log leke aao, Ek Rupiah koi baat nahi, kuch nahi hai. So everybody come to me, give me. I finished the magazine. And I put all the money inside. And then I went back to the van. When Maharaj was there, Maharaj said, what happened? He said, I finished. He said, no problem, I'll give you more. Give me go, Harinam Sankirtan! So I went to the street. So this is the third day. And then, of course, we reached Calcutta, and we did Harinam, beautiful temple. I met many devotees, Satvik, Uttamasvoga, many other devotees who preached to me. And they say, okay, why don't you spend 2-3 months with us in Mayapur? We are from Mayapur, Sankirtan. And if you like, you can remain with us. If you don't like, you can go back to Italy, wherever you like. So I start studying with them. I was in the Brahmacharya ashram. And we did service from morning to night. Mongol Arati, we wake up 3:30, 4 o'clock. We go to the temple, we chant and dance like crazy. And then by the time it's 9 o'clock, we have prasadam. Of course, it was khichdi and chutney and popcorn, it was full of chili. I like chili, no problem, I can take it. And then we did service all day. We cleaned the toilet, we cleaned the long building, we cleaned all kinds of things. Then slowly we become more advanced. We cleaned the kitchen pot.
which is huge, like this. One guy has to hold you from the back and you go inside the pot and there was a fox inside. And it was really black and clean, very nicely, but I was feeling like I'm cleaning my heart and being purified. That means the system works. You know, and then I start studying Bhagavad Gita, learning Brahma Samhita, Sri Upanishad. And then I thought to myself, okay, what's the use? One more mechanic in Italy? I think they can live without one mechanic in Italy. Better if you become a devotee. And so then I continued from the time by the blessing of the Vaishnavas, and I was able to do some service. And but the wonderful thing is that you feel so much great happiness in your heart, because this Sankirtan movement, this devotional service is purifying us continuously. No one, no devotee can say, oh, I reach, I am on the top, that's it, don't worry. No, everybody is continuously growing. We are constantly upgrading our consciousness. We are always improving, always looking for way of serving the Vaishnava, because when the Vaishnava is served, then Krishna becomes pleased. We cannot possibly serve Krishna directly. Of course, he is doing, he is a great devotee. But how many people can serve Krishna directly? Yes. Lakshmi, Sahasrasada, Sambrahmasayivimana. Yes, millions, trillions of gopis serving Lakshmi, you know. And who are we? We're like small insect. So we cannot serve Krishna directly. But we can serve Krishna by serving the Vaishnavas. So this is a great treasure we have. Let's become serious. Let's condense, you know, this devotional life. And let's be very attentive not to commit any Vaishnava parada, which I've seen in my 40 plus year devotional service, is the only obstacle which can degrade or demote us in our spiritual consciousness, make us lose the pleasure of chanting Hare Krishna. So I think everybody's watching, is looking at his watch. What time are we supposed to finish? 10:15. Are they late? Okay, I'll stop here, and if you have any question, we have a few minutes. Yes, you have a question? Yeah, it's a very good point, you know, because there is some Buddhists in China and Japan and in Malaysia who are vegetarian. Some of them are vegetarian. Even Christians, some of them are vegetarian. Even Muslims, some of them are vegetarian, like the Sufi. But, you know, I think that some people want to take their religion for external purpose or for some material benefit. So they don't care. They think, oh, what's wrong? I'm going to eat meat. There are so many chicken. If we don't kill the chicken will become more number than human. They will kill us and eat us. So somebody has some funny philosophy, so which doesn't make sense, because Krishna has created jiva jivasya jivanam. One type of food of one living entity is food for another living entity. The tiger eats deer and other animal, but it doesn't store them, you know, in a fridge. It doesn't kill 10 deer at a time. Only one deer he kills when he's hungry every 1 month. So unfortunately, this fake religion which possess, yes, believe in Jesus, yes, believe in Buddha, yes, believe in this and that, but they don't follow. That's the problem. So we have to be sincere follower. Srila Prabhupada say, all the religion basically are telling the same thing, to love God. So if we love God, means we love the creation of God. That means we have respect even for the blade of grass, even for the small bugs. You know? Sometimes you see devotees, some bug in the temple, they go with a piece of paper and they don't kill it, they take it, okay, let's take it and put it in a glass and take it outside and put it in a garment. Why? They don't want to kill even an ant. Right? So we have to become sincere followers of Sri Krishna, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Does this answer your question? Okay. Yes,
I have one question.
Yes, 1 second, I'll give you the mic.
Hare Krishna, thank you so much more amazing.
Put on the microphone. Hello. Yeah, okay. Speak in the microphone.
Prabhu, like, Krishna has been so much more amazing. I really like amazing. Thank you so much. So, coming to the point, my question is, before, during Krishna's time, we were drinking cow's milk and butter and ghee and everything. And I feel, up to my knowledge, and all, correct me if I'm wrong, that we were serving cows in a very proper way, there was some proper compassion and everything. But these days, everything has been so commercialized that, I was feeling that even consuming cow's milk, the way I'm getting it, like the way you said before, that looking behind, what's behind the meat? Like when I see behind that milk, I see the suffering of the cow. Like right now, somewhere in the commercial, getting their milk with a machine, yeah, and treating them with just a small space, and not even enough space for them, and making them slaves for our benefit. And of course, adding to that point as well, recently I came with this, the farm cows, and there's a mother cow dairy. So I started, since last 100 or something days, I'm not consuming any product. So right now, coming to contact with this one, I started consuming milk products that are only prasadam or from mother cow dairy. So I was having this dilemma in my mind that what I'm doing is right, what you think about it, that I'm not consuming any commercial milk.
Yeah, it's good, I think, but what happened is that Srila Prabhupada emphasized that drinking milk is good for the brain, the subtle. So, there were cases where Srila Prabhupada was in America, I think he was in Hawaii maybe, and the devotee, they stopped offering milk to the deity because they said, oh, this is, they put cod oil inside, or vitamin, protein, different chemical things. But Srila Prabhupada kind of overruled it and said, look, Krishna liked milk, he wasn't cowboy, it doesn't matter, whatever milk is there, just offer it. So Krishna has no problem, we can offer whatever milk, because he is the Supreme Lord. Now, I think it's a personal choice of all of us. We cannot legislate and make it a ban on the whole ISKCON organization or such and say, because for example, in Mayapur we have cows which we protect, in New Govardhan, and the gold cows, we have cows which we protect, and we drink milk, we make cheese, we even make paneer, we make mozzarella, we cook them, different cheese, I train them to make. So, as much as possible, yeah, I would suggest you take from a dairy farm where you know that the cows are protected, it would be nice. But, you know, for many people who are scattered around Australia and the world, what to do, because especially we are grown up above 40, you don't need to drink milk, you know, but children, they need milk and milk products. It's good to develop their cell tissues of their brain. So, you know, if we offer to Krishna, like Prahlad Maharaj was offered some sandesh, which was full of poison. So he offered to the Lord, he ate it, and he didn't die. So Krishna can change everything if our consciousness is pure and with the understanding that this Kali Yuga is all contaminated. If you think like that, then okay, what about the rice that pumping so much of this fertilizer and name it, you know, vegetable. You take a tomato today, you eat it. It doesn't taste like tomato anymore. So it's the same thing with the fruits, same thing. So basically we should start. But we cannot, because we have to eat something. So the bad use, what do you call it, make the best use of the bad bargain. So as much as we can try to source things from organic farming. We have a beautiful farm, actually, about 1.5 hours from here. And we went the other day with Prabhu. He showed us how beautiful they're growing apple, they're growing flowers, they have cows, and they're making cow products. So some devotees should be dedicated to go to the farm, you know, and spend more time there, then we can maybe make enough milk and be delivered to our temple, like in New Govardhan, we sell the milk to the devotees, you know, who want to come and pick up every day when we're dying, and because we produce about 100 liters per day. So many devotees in Moon Lumber, they come there with their cane and they buy milk. So you can identify some farm. We have a farm.
So if we have more manpower, then we can enlarge our herd of cows, we can have more products, and so everybody can get benefited. Does this answer your question?
Yeah, good point.
Thank you so much.
So, Jatparat, in this case, he was going to be sacrificed and he did not make any endeavor. So, my question is, in what circumstance we can depend on Krishna's mercy when he doesn't make any endeavor?
I think we should depend always on Krishna. There is no one circumstance we can depend, we cannot depend. Obviously, for within, you know, everyday affair, we have to do what we need to do. But at the same time, we can always depend on Krishna in every circumstance. So maybe if you look into your life, there are many miracles happen when you are in a distressful situation where you think, Krishna, please help me, I don't know what to do now. And then Krishna sent a person or something that you needed. So Krishna is there, he's a person, he's in your heart, he's in our heart, and he knows everything. So, of course, if somebody comes to fight or to, you know, harass the village or they destroy the temple, that time we step in and we do the whole possible thing to protect the temple, to protect the deities. Even the great Acharyas, when the Muslims invaded India, they took the deity and they took them to Jaipur, a different place from Vrindavan, because they were destroying the temple. So we cannot say, okay, whatever you want, Krishna, you are the Lord, protect yourself. No, we are the caretaker, we are the protector of Krishna. Krishna is protecting us, but Krishna wants to see also us engaging devotional service. So I think more we surrender to the Lord, and more we are getting closer to Him. So we should 24/7 be surrendered to the Lord. And of course, within our possibility of doing, is now we are not sitting like, you know, under the tree and say, okay, only if the pear come in and out, I'll eat it. It's not like that. We have to work, we have to be responsible, we have to take care of the children, we have to take care of the family, we have to take care of the house, we have to do the needful. But with a mentality always for remembering Krishna. If we remember Krishna, Manmanam, Bhagavan, Bhattu, Madhya Jiva, Namaskuru. So twice Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, the slogan, always remember me. So this is something internal. Externally, the Suvitila, Sai, Dogi, this and that. That's external. But internal in our heart, if we are sincere and honest, Bhakti Nautaku said, we can remember Krishna 24 hours. And we can make an effort. Today we are having so many beautiful gadgets. We have a telephone. With the telephone we can always listen lecture. We can listen bhajan. When we are cooking, when we are driving the car, when we are driving the train, the bus. Every moment, because more we are like a sponge. We are absorbing from external energy. So more we expose our mind, our heart to Krishna consciousness, the more we become filled. One thing I want to give an example is that if you have water, you put ink inside, it will become the color of the ink. But if you put more water, more water, more water, the ink will come out, it become clear again. So more we are filling our consciousness with Krishna consciousness, activities and sound, because we want to hear bhajan, we want to hear lecture, we want to perform devotional service. As much as possible, our phone can be our enemy, but can be our friend, because we can download the Bhagavad Bhajan, Bhagavad Lecture, whenever we have time. You know, we go to the toilet, hey, let's put, you know, a bhajan, let's cut a vegetable for some juice, let's put bhajan, or lecture. Why not? We can do it, no one is stopping us. So we can train ourselves to constantly think of Krishna. It's a gradual process, but we can do it. Does this answer your question?
Thank you.
Any other question? Jai Shri Prabhupada ki, Anantakoti Vaishnavinda ki, Gaura Premananda.